Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday or happy Sunday, wherever you may be in the USA or around the world. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Oh, big show. So here's what we're going to be covering. Number one, I got some housekeeping matters I got to attend to up front here, which I think you'll find pretty interesting. And number two, we're going to talk a little bit about your contributions to various campaigns, starting with the Virginia governor's race, which we can win. We can win. We can get rid of that communist, Marxist, top level of Virginia's government and get that state going back to red. You know, pull a reverse Obama. Reverse Colorado Obama. Boy, that was a classic case of turning a state blue by Barry. And we're going to be talking about our historical story. You know, over the last several weeks, I've talked to you about what's happening in our schools, the history of education, giving you examples of some just incredible, I'll call them teachings, if you want to, around the United States and the NEA and the Marxist, unfortunately, majority of teachers that are now teaching our kids. We talked about the Black Lives Matter. We mentioned the 1619 Project. We talked about critical race theory, at least on a stratospheric level. We talked about them training our kids to be good little state Autobahns, you know? Heil Hitler. Whatever you say, Führer, I will do. Which, by the way, is not an exaggeration. And we talked about this gender teaching, you know, gender-neutral teaching. Yes. Today, we're going to go into some details on all that stuff. I'm going to give you the history of each one of those, how they have evolved in our schools while we were asleep at the switch. But asleep no more, as is evidenced by Merrick Garland and the FBI suddenly targeting parents. You know, we have 1.7 million illegal aliens, none of them vetted. I'm sure a number of them American haters and would-be, if not actual terrorists, flooding the southern border. But we're going to focus on parents going to school board meetings. That's when you know you're over the target, folks. And we are over the target. So that's going to bring you up to speed. You're going to find the evolution of these theories, how they have evolved, who did them, how they have worked their way into the school system. You'll find it fascinating. You'll find it scary. And hopefully it will motivate you to stand up even more, yell even louder, and make the changes that need to be made. Then we're going to talk about COVID. And I know everybody's groaning. Oh my God, he's been talking about COVID for months. Folks, it's really easy. There's two things you're going to use to control you as the cloaks, to make you puppets with them at the other end of the strings as Marxist puppeteers. It is COVID and it is climate change. And when they run out of steam on COVID, which they're beginning to do, then the drums will beat on climate change. Because fear is their friend. Fear is your enemy. And they have now discovered that fear works. We're going to have to undiscover that revelation for them by standing up, by finding our American DNA. What I'm going to be talking about on COVID today is I'm going to give you some more stats, some very concerning stats on the jabs, what's been happening to people around the world after taking the various jabs, one or two. And we've talked about that in the past, but this is brand new information. This week, I gave you my opinion on the sum total of this research on these jabs. They are intentionally evil. And intentional, I mean intentional on the part of the Chinese. There's a video which we have now 80% confirmed. I actually have folks out doing translations to be 100% sure of the CCP high mucky mucks having a Zoom conference. You need to listen to that video. It is right under the audio bar on the website, on therightsideradio.com, along with my two shows on weather modification frequency using metallic nanoparticles that have been injected into the atmosphere for decades. And we're going to tie that into the COVID and the nanoparticles absolutely positively, despite the protests of Fauci and crew, the United States government, and the corrupt big pharma companies. We're going to tie that into frequencies and control, because last week I told you that I've reached a conclusion that jabs are intentionally evil with a motive that has nothing to do with your health, quite the contrary, in fact. This week, I'm going to tell you what they plan to do, a number of alternatives, all of them absolute, because I'm going to give you a series of dots, irrefutable dots, that lead me to these conclusions. What they plan to do with these jabs once they have them in, they hope, 100% of the population of the planet, not just America, but particularly America, since the Chinese are involved. That video and its captions will catch your attention. Now, I guarantee you it'll catch your attention. Make sure you watch it. Remember, on the website, on the rightsideradio.com, is a huge collection of videos and essays and research papers by doctors, virologists, immunologists, world-renowned folks. And 2 weeks ago, last week, and this week, we have new stuff, some of it very concerning. And I want to emphasize again, this is not getting down on those of you who are listening who have had one of the jabs or two of the jabs or perhaps three of the jabs. This is not to get down on you folks who are listening who have not been vaccinated. Everybody gets to make a choice. This is America. The nonsense about a pandemic of the unvaccinated is absolute bullcocky. This is now a pandemic of the vaccinated. The stats are clear from Israel, from Australia, from Singapore, from Taiwan, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. It is no exceptions across the world. The numbers don't lie, but the people who give us the numbers lie. And even with them lying to us about the numbers don't lie. We're going to talk about what's really going on behind the scenes. I'm going to have some reports for you. One of them is called the Vaccine Death Report, which is an accurate compilation of what's going on with folks who have gotten the jabs. I'm not going to call them vaccines anymore because they're not. By their own nomenclature, Pfizer, Moderna, and the rest of them say they are not vaccines, say they are gene therapy drugs, and they are not approved, folks. I played you that 2 weeks ago. They are all under emergency use authorization. The media claptrap, the Fauci claptrap. Boy, there's a guy who needs to be tried for treason and hung. That is claptrap. There is no approved vaccine out there that you can get. They're playing a shell game. And now they got the 5 to 11-year-olds. We're going to talk about that, too. Wow. I'm going to tell you what my lines in the sand are. I've gotten a lot of feedback from folks. We're going to go a little bit into the mailbag today because actually it ties right into the show. And I'm going to answer some questions and bring you some really critical information relative to those questions, which ties right into the show. I urge you to go to the ontherightsideradio.com website and to read and listen and watch the reams of information, international and American, specialists from the world over, the reams of information on all these subjects we're covering today. And I also invite you to go back 2 weeks or last week and take a look at the reams of information there. Together, these last 3 weeks and what is posted under COVID vaccine, COVID, China, you name it, is likely the best compendium of all-in-one-spot information in media, bar none. And the producers went to a lot of work to get it up on the site, and I went to a lot of work to research it for you because I don't talk to you about things I haven't researched. And what you're hearing is absolute research by me in uncovering it. And let me tell you, I threw away a lot of stuff. You're not seeing a lot of stuff I uncovered because I couldn't verify it. I didn't have more than one source, so to speak. I didn't have more than one corroboration from a scientist in Israel and a scientist in Brazil coming up with the same findings. I bring you what I believe. I bring you what is substantiated not just once, but twice, and in many cases, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times by various unconnected people working on this mess, which the Democratic Marxists, the globalists, and the Red Chinese acting as an unholy alliance to achieve their various ends, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, have perpetrated on us. This is the greatest fraud in human history. And that is really saying something, because there's been some outrageous frauds in human history. Particularly, by the way, since 2008 when Barack Obama was elected. Not to mention his second election. That was probably a fraud in and of itself. But that is a discussion for another day. We're also going to talk just a little bit about, I didn't have the time with all the other stuff in the show to put together a complete guide for you as to what they found in the Arizona audit, but it is chilling. We're going to talk very briefly, just an overview. I'm going to get into the details next week, and I'm not going to be bringing you a huge segment on COVID unless it warrants it in the future. This information is here for you now. You can listen to the shows. You can see the reams of information, scientific information, statistical information, which has been compiled from government websites by these various researchers on an international basis. You are smart folks. You have brains. You have self-determination. You are Americans. And for those of you listening across the water, good for you for standing up in France and Romania and Czechoslovakia and Slovenia and in countries around the world, to the tunes of millions and tens of millions of people in the street. Good for you. And to you folks at Southwest Airlines who are bringing that airlines to its knees. To those at United who are planning the same. To those at Delta who got the CEO there to not even go into the mandate realm. To the Amtrak employees. To the firefighters around the country, New York and L.A., just to mention two cities. To the cops in Chicago, we're going to talk about, who've told Lightfoot to stick it. Who, by the way, her response was, oh my God, this is an insurrection. No, Lori, this is not an insurrection. You'll know what an insurrection is when it comes. Trust me, you'll know. And this is not an insurrection. This is basic civil rights. This is basic American Bill of Rights. This is basic people standing up for their own health, their own determination, their own decisions, and against your Marxist dictatorship. You'll know, Lori, you'll know if there's an insurrection. This is just the calm before the storm. Keep pushing. Find out where it goes, folks. Keep pushing. All right, let's get started, because we've got a lot to cover. First of all, housekeeping. I've gotten loads of letters and calls and texts on when books 5 and 6 of the Threads West series is coming out. Number one, thanks to all of you for reading it, both the guys and the gals out there reading it. It's 50-50 on the readership. 5 and 6 are coming out very shortly. I've been saying that for 4 months. We now have supply chain problems with paper and shipping, and believe it or not, to give you an idea of how deep this supply chain and labor problem goes, by the way, intentional. It's all intentional. This is not an accident. It's taking Amazon 4 to 5 weeks to stock books and bring them into inventory. It used to take 3 days. Barnes & Noble is even slower. Books a Million is not quite as bad, but not good. Trying to get paper is difficult. Fortunately, my publishers are great, and they pre-bought a lot of paper, basically because I kind of foresaw this and recommended that they do. So they're in better shape than most publishers. But 5 and 6 are coming out soon. There will be a newsletter from the Threads West website, the publisher's website, coming out in the next week. If you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Very few letters come out of that site. And when they do, they have information. You are not inundated whatsoever. I don't think there's been 6 over the course of the year. It's going to talk about the new hardcovers, which are coming out. They are beautiful. Very limited supply. Beautiful Christmas gifts. You'll be able to grab those. The book for audio, finally, after the delays via COVID through Gruesome Newsom in California, who shut down all the studios, all the audio studios where this stuff is done for us. And that's going to be available here literally within the week, both on Audible and through the publisher's website on their one-of-a-kind USBs that are so popular around the United States. And other information, too. So that's housekeeping item number one. Housekeeping item number two. You folks that want to contact me here on the radio show, let me give you the contact information again. My producers chastise me every week. You didn't tell them how to contact you. What do you mean? I told them last week. Well, you need to tell them this week. Blah, blah, blah. On the right side radio at Reagan.com. On the right side radio at Reagan.com. That's how you send us an email. Or you can post on the website, and it gets posted after moderation, and it gets responded to. As do emails, by the way. Not the next day, but they will get responded to. Some of them may be brought up on the show. So the website, by the way, for the books, I don't think I mentioned it, is www.threadswestseries.com. That's www.threadswestseries.com. Subscribe there for the newsletters, particularly with the one that's coming out on 5 and 6 and the audio for book 4 and the hardcovers, etc. On therightsideradio.com, you can post comments there. On therightsideradio.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Please do. Throw us a like. We post many articles there that sometimes don't even get on the show. They are current and juicy and up to date, and some great, by the way, memes, which will make you laugh. And that is facebook.com/ontherightsideradio. facebook.com/ontherightsideradio. So please, folks, link up with us. There is strength in numbers. There is strength in interlinked communications, particularly with the censorship that's going on. And Google is running amok, by the way, on its algorithms and being able to search for things. Go to DuckDuckGo.com. That's DuckDuckGo.com. That's where you need to do your searches. The algorithms are not as bad. DuckDuckGo does not record what you are searching for. Let's get into politics and supporting candidates. We're going to have a new section on the website starting this week. I'm going to have candidates listed, a few of them every week. We're getting into the drumbeat of the 2022 elections, folks. They are just a year out. They are critical. We must take one or the other, and preferably both, of the houses of Congress, the Senate and the House. This is critical. The other side knows it's critical too. And that's one of the reasons we're going to be going into election fraud here over the next several weeks, as I've put together the information over the past several months. There is an upcoming election. You folks are going to have to dig into your pockets. You're going to have to get your friends and your associates around the country, your family in other states. Everybody needs to dig into their pockets. Stand up. It's not enough to just go to the school boards and get those changes done, although that is absolutely critical to the survival of the nation. It is not enough to join in lawsuits and protests and strikes over the unconstitutional and illegal mandates. It is not enough to simply communicate with people of your own thinking, although that is critical, which is, of course, why they've had to shut it down or tried to shut it down. You must contribute some money. Let me put it to you this way. You can contribute a few shekels now to help these candidates to turn the House, to turn the Senate, and to get governors elected, which we're about to talk about here in the Virginia election upcoming. That's just days away, days away. I think 4 days from the time you're listening to this. Not a lot of time. Or you can dig into your pocket for ever-increasing inflation to the tunes of thousands of dollars. You can dig into your pocket to fight a defensive battle over your property and your wallet, which is the only sources of revenue the government has. And you can fight a battle to try and save your rights. Your rights under the Bill of Rights and your rights to choose your own health care and your own health initiatives. And that's a hell of a lot more money than contributing to candidates right now. This is critical. The Virginia governor's race, Youngkin against McAuliffe. McAuliffe is the Marxist Democrat. He is a stooge and has been for decades of the Clintons and the Obamas. He is the poster boy for progressive Marxists. He is a continuation of that disgusting Governor Northrop that Virginia has had to endure. You know, the guy who said, oh, yeah, you know, well, if the baby's born, you know, we'll make it comfortable while the mother decides. Remember that guy? Yeah. Who wore blackface in college but managed to escape without resigning. McAuliffe is bad news. He is an anti-American communist. Youngkin is a businessman, conservative businessman. He is the answer to what Virginia needs. And contributing to Youngkin, who, by the way, is neck and neck with McAuliffe. Neck and neck. I mean, a few thousand dollars could make a difference in turning out the vote. And obviously, we have to be worried about voter fraud again. The Democratic Marxists will stop at nothing. But you must send some money to his campaign. We're going to have links posted on Facebook, on therightsideradio.com, and under our new header, which is Stand Up, Contribute, on the website. Make some contributions, folks. If we win this governorship, we begin to turn a key state red again. It used to be red up to just 8 years ago. Oh, that's right. Barry coincides with Barry. Lots of stuff coincides with Barry. It's not a coincidence. It will begin to reverse the Democratic Marxist trend in the election of state legislators in Virginia. It will affect elections and the mentality of elections and momentum in elections around the United States at local, state, and federal levels. It will begin to get under control the fraud which occurred in Virginia in 2020. It will install a conservative governor which will strengthen the entire conservative governor circle around the country. It will stop the mandates which Virginia is on the way to in their tracks. It will be the beginning, perhaps, of what we hope is a red wave in 2020. And it will have a chilling effect on the Dems, on the Democratic Marxists. It will have exactly the opposite effect on the conservative side, our side of things. And probably it will stimulate fundraising for campaigns across the country. This is a big race. If Youngkin loses, well, it's not the end of the world. But if he wins, it's huge. It's huge. Contribute some money to Youngkin's campaign. The links are on the website. The links are on Facebook. We're going to be posting twice a day on Facebook from now to the time of the election. This is important. That's the one we're going to focus on this week. There'll be others that we're focusing on in the weeks to come. The drumbeat of the 2022 elections is upon us. The rat-a-tat-tat, the quickening drumbeat of the Virginia governor's election is days away. You have days to make a contribution. You have days to stand up. You have days to make a difference. Don't fritter them away. Into our fascinating, though chilling, historical story. Education. Before we start, I'm going to remind you of this for the next 3 weeks while we finish up education, because it is a huge topic that means basically doom or survival of the American civilization. Go back and listen to my shows on the collapse of civilizations several months ago, all the way back 5,000 years. That is what's being done in America right now. It's up to you and me and us to stop it. Remember Woodrow Wilson. 1909, as the president of Princeton University before he unfortunately became a president of the United States. The purpose of a university should be to make a son as unlike his father as possible. Wow, what a quote. And we did not talk about him much over the past 3 weeks, but there was another guy by the name of Dewey. And Dewey was one of the big pushers. In fact, he was associated with Woodrow Wilson. He was a philosophy professor at the University of Chicago. Oh, gee, man, they've turned out their fair share of Marxists. And Columbia University, gee, another Democratic Marxist school. He was a leaning proponent of progressive education, wrote many books and articles to promote kind of the central role of, quote-unquote, democracy in education, unquote. He believed, to put it succinctly, and the Democratic Marxists of today know, that schools are not only a place for students to gain content knowledge, but also a place for them to learn how to live, quote-unquote, live. The purpose of education in Dewey and the progressives of that time, the early 20th century, and the Democratic Marxists who take it several steps further now, the purpose of education in their minds was to realize not only a student's full potential, but to shape that potential into a good government cog, you know, the subversion of the individual to the collective. Let me give you a quote from Dewey. Quote, to prepare him, this happens to be students, for the future life means to give him command of himself. It means to so train him that he will have the full and ready use of all his capacities. Education is a regulation of the process of coming to share in the social consciousness and that the adjustment of individual activity on the basis of this social consciousness is the only sure method of social reconstruction. Does that tell you all you need to know, folks, about where education began to go back there between 1909 and 1928, when the communists from Russia really began to get involved, all the way up to the 50s and 60s, when the place of Russia was in some ways, shall we say, taken by the Red Chinese, you know, the whole three-pronged warfare without firing a shot of the CCP? You bet it does. Let's continue here. Okay, so critical race theory. Critical race theory, or CRT, is an offshoot of Karl Marx's theory of class struggle. Karl Marx believed that you could foment worker-led or other types of similar revolutions by pitting one class against another. That was the red pepper he put in the recipe of social change. The Frankfurt School in Germany, they reworked Marx's social conflict theory, which is what he called it, in the 1950s by adding race to their long list of oppressed minorities, you know, the poor and the worker and et cetera, against the rich and the boss. A revolutionary socialist movement, folks, had existed in Germany going back to Adolf Hitler. We've talked about it, the National Socialist Democratic Party, the Nazi Party. And these racial justice warriors began to, in addition to gender, in addition to income, in addition to class, in addition to employer versus employee, began to pit one race against another and to encourage the oppressed, as they called them, to overthrow the oppressors, as they called them. After World War II in Germany, the Frankfurt School intellectuals and elites, you know, the academics, they began to plagiarize, if you will, the racial structure, the victimhood theories that began with the Nazi theorists in the 1920s. The National Socialists, like Marxian Frankfurt school leaders, the Marxists at the Frankfurt School, dedicated themselves to fighting quote-unquote racial oppression imposed by any advantaged class. In the case of the Nazis, to tie this all into you, the oppressed race was the Aryan race and the German people. The oppressor race was the Jews. They convinced the oppressed race, the German people, that Jews controlled the world. They were wealthy and privileged, and they mistreated all the other races, including the Aryan race. The National Socialists, the Nazis, taught German children, oh yeah, you know, it went back to the school thing, that the Jews, Jewish-run banks, and Jewish capitalists were persecuting the German nation. This is classical Marxism, folks, which, by the way, has had devastating effects across the annals of modern history. No exceptions. Devastating effects. And let me remind you, think about all the things, all the barbs that have been thrown our ways. You know, we're ten-toothed people, we're dregs, we're deplorables, we're subhuman, we have genetic deficiencies. Those of us who are who haven't taken the jab, you know, have no social conscience, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've given you scores and scores of examples over the last year. The end game, when this begins, folks, always results in horrific final solutions to punish the so-called privileged and oppressor races. There is no exception to that rule, too. And it begins in earnest when a population is disarmed. Remember that the Second Amendment protects all the other amendments. One thing we cannot do, and we will be discussing this, my lines in the sand, is we cannot be disarmed. Under no conditions, whatever it takes, we cannot be disarmed. Just ask the poor people in Australia about giving up their guns. Wow. Yeah. The Nazis nationalized schools in 1933. And immediately, I'm talking about the day after the nationalization, school administrators, at the request of the Führer and Göring and the top echelon of the Nazi Party, quickly began to insert racist policies, rewrote textbooks, rewrote school policies. And there was a kind of a union of teachers formed called the National Socialist Teachers League. Gee, kind of like the NEA in the United States right now. That was the official Nazis Teachers Union. And they began to inundate German students with racial theories that invaded all disciplines of the schooling, all disciplines. And we're going to talk about that today because Everything is interrelated. Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, the gender neutrality project, gender equality that we've talked about over the last week. This is all related. It all comes down to identifying an oppressed class, or as I call them, the victim class, and then empowering them to rise up and smite. And by the way, when I say smite, I mean eliminate the oppressor class. It is pure Marxism, just as the Marxists are trying to do in our schools today, and by the way, unfortunately, successfully in many of them. This came directly down from the Führer himself. The concept of quote-unquote equality, which is, shall we say, subjective at best. Social engineering, social justice, racial tribalism, national collectivity rather than individuals, social Darwinism. Their biggest mission was to implant biased ethnic racial studies into Germany's classroom. That is what the goal is today, folks. You know, the progressive Marxists call Republicans Nazis and liken Trump to Hitler. As with all things they do or say, whatever they accuse you of doing, they are doing themselves. There's a book by the name of the Third Reich in Power, 1933 to 1939, Richard J. Evans. For those of you who wish to study this topic in detail, I recommend that book highly. So this old-style racism is now returning to our world, the woke mob, Black Lives Matter. The teachings are a hodgepodge of social justice, oppressor versus oppressed, victimhood, racial tribalism. It is today. Yesterday is today. The touchstone of the past is the guidepost to the future. Hitler used to have posters, and what they said was, quote, big Jewish capitalism is the worst enemy of this Reich and its Führer, unquote. Gee, what are we hearing now? Oh, Republicans, conservatives, anybody who doesn't toe the woke line are the biggest enemy to America and to all Americans who think like the progressives. History is repeating before our very eyes, folks. Critical race theory was developed in the United States by three kind of pioneers, if you will. Columbia law professors. I tell you what, we just might want to shut down Columbia. I mean, it is a Marxist factory. Kimberly Crenshaw, Kendall Thomas, and Patricia Williams are the three architects of what we now deal with as critical race theory. Fortunately, and this goes back to how important these elections are, particularly at the local levels all the way up, Republican lawmakers in more than 20 states have either introduced or they've passed legislation that target the principles underlying critical race theory by banning schools from teaching about structural racism. History is one thing. There were racists. There was racism. The black people and others were oppressed. The difference is America has corrected that and is in the process, the ever-consuming and the ever-moving forward process of righting those wrongs, unlike other countries around the world, I might add. Critical race theory and the essential scholarship, if you want to call it that, that is advanced can challenge a lot of long-held views. But, and I quote Crenshaw now at Columbia, and the president of Columbia, Lisi Bollinger, quote, that is what makes this work so urgent and necessary. Oh, really? Quote, this is, after all, what makes universities such vital institutions in society, unquote. No, folks, that's not what makes halls of higher education vital. We know what makes them vital. It is not teaching division. It is not teaching anti-American values. It is not undermining the cohesiveness of the American people. Let me give you another quote. In the finest tradition of Columbia Law School, our brilliant faculty were among the foundational thinkers and continue to lead the dialogue on this vital issue, unquote. They have persisted in the face of hostility and outright falsehoods as a testament to their vision and determination, unquote. The actual critical race theory teaching movement began at Harvard under a professor by the name of Derrick Bell in the 1980s, and it was picked up on by Columbia. All these folks went around the nation teaching to school boards or lecturing to school boards and school administrators and groups of teachers and the NEA you know, civil rights, constitutional law, critical race theory. It is a concerted effort to inject this into schools, just as Hitler injected his form of it. Just replace the word blacks with the word Jews. It is the same. And these folks believe passionately, of course they are useful idiots of the CCP and others, that, quote, a regime of white supremacy and its subordination of people of color in America has an impact on the relationship between social structure and professed ideals, such as the rule of law and equal protection, unquote. Do you understand now how dangerous this stuff is? This is where the erosion of equality of justice, this is where the dismantling of the foundation of the rule of law has sprung from. And it's all tied into this Marxist ideology. The end justifies the mean. The oppressor versus the oppressed. Stitching together constituencies of victims who they have taught to be victims into voting blocks. According to Crenshaw, who, by the way, also termed that word that you've heard, intersectionality. You know, the guy is a piece of work. Intersectionality refers to how different forms of discrimination, sexism, racism, economic class, can overlap and compound each other. So these educators and the educators they've trained and the educators, unfortunately, which infest, I won't say inhabit, many of our elementary, secondary, and high schools, they believe that to talk openly, as they call it, openly, about how American history has had such an effect on our society and institutions is the only way to restructure the country. All right, well, that's critical race theory. Critical race theory itself is, and I'll boil it down for you folks, critical race theory is whites are oppressors, blacks particularly, but many other races are the oppressed. And anything and everything goes, and anything and everything is allowed in punishing the oppressors, stopping the oppression, and of course raising blacks and other people of colored skins out of the victimhood which these people have taught them they are encased in. I mean, it's a diabolical, circular catch-22, and it's having a huge impact. Look at what's happening in the streets of America. Look at what happened in the streets of America last year. And you talk about the rule of law and the equal application of law. Where are all these rioters, looters, arsonists? Are they in jail? Are they facing trial? No. No, instead, the eyes of the law, the selectively enforced and interpreted law, is on parents at school board meetings. You can't make this stuff up. Then we have critical race theory itself. And critical race theory itself has led into a project called the 1619 Project, which first came out in the New York Times. The New York Times Magazine. This was in August of 2019 to commemorate, they say, the 400th anniversary of the landing of the first African Americans on North American soil, and the English colony of Virginia. Gee, we're back to Virginia. It's amazing how history works, isn't it? The 1619 Project, to sum it up, is a study of slavery's impact on economic life and how much black people and other people of color contribute to the economic development and character of American capitalism. But it is taught subjectively, not objectively. It is taught with glaring omissions, glaring distortions, and it's done so on purpose. According to the 1619 Project, folks, there's no tension. There can be no debate over the struggle, let's say, by the white framers of the Constitution in 1787 to balance survival, economics, and individual rights. There is no credit given to the words in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, all men are created equal. There is no credence given to either Abraham Lincoln as an emancipator. In fact, they call him just the opposite. He was really just pretending, you know. He didn't intend to free the slaves at all. Or to Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence and agonized over slavery. Agonized over slavery. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In fact, their statues are statues to be torn down. That portion of our history is a portion to be erased and replaced with the 1619 Project and critical race theory and the interrelated gender-neutral studies, because that's all about the the oppression of people who don't know who their sex is, or people who think because they are biological male that they're really something else. It's all interrelated. It's all about creating many, many classes of oppressed, many, many classes of victims, stitching them together as useful idiots into voting blocks to maintain power and control and to extend power and control in perpetuity. And it's a zero-sum game, all these teachings. This is a really important point. You can't applaud what whites have done to assist minorities, people of color, in advancement, in casting off the yoke of slavery. The fact that 700,000, give or take, Union soldiers died in the Civil War is not even mentioned in the 1619 Project. It's a zero-sum game. There is only what blacks have had to struggle for. It is not what whites have assisted them with. It's a zero-sum game in capitalism versus socialism. There is no way for you, victim, to be equal unless you take from the guy who has it all. Do you understand how this works? How they are fomenting this division in every way, shape, and form, by sex, by political thought, by social class, by economic level, by religion, by race? There is nothing that they have not found to drive a wedge into. And much of this has been financed and overtly assisted by the CCP and, to a lesser extent, Russia. A divided America is their dream. Actually, the CCP has other dreams too. Make sure you watch that video under the audio bar on the website. And we're going to talk about more in the COVID deal also. So the New York Times, when they came out with this, it was written, the essay was written by a gal by the name of Nicole Hannah Jones, a supposed investigative reporter for the New York Times Magazine. She was the author. She got a Pulitzer Prize in 2020, along with lots of other awards, MacArthur Fellowship, Peabody Award, George Polk Award, blah, 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 blah. All of them were, by the way, this is really interesting, they were for commentary, not for history. Gee, that's not reported either. The Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, which, by the way, has nothing to do with the Pulitzer Prize, although you can't find that anywhere on their website. They have published 18 essays, including this gal, Hannah Jones, as part of a curriculum planning guide for teachers. You may be petrified to know that this 1619 Project is now in approximately 4,500 classrooms around the United States. More than 4,000 educators around the United States admit that they are actively teaching this as a foundational block of their lesson planning. And because this 1619 Project came out in 19. Gee, do you like the way all this was engineered? Do you think this is an accident? We have the Red Chinese Defense Minister in 2019 talking about biological attack on America. We have Fauci, and by the way, this video is under the audio bar too, warning of a pandemic that nobody's going to foresee that's going to come, and that was in 2017. You have him and his cronies discussing how to force mass vaccinations by creating a pandemic using some virus from China in 2019. Those videos, folks, you can listen to from their own lips, are right under the audio bar next to this China video this week. Listen to them. They are very short. They are very telling. They are horrifying. And at the same time we come out with this critical race theory, is there any wonder why 100 cities in America were burned out in 2020 and nothing was done, by the way? There was little to no prosecution of the perpetrators. Instead, they were allowed to establish their free zones, you know, a summer of love, as the mayor of Seattle called it. It might interest you to know that the entire 18-essay lesson planning set is posted on the website under women, and I suggest you skim it. It may motivate you to get down to the school board and to vote in the school board elections and to monitor what is being taught to your children in public school. As an aside, and then we're going to get back to this 1619 Project, unbelievable. There are many alternatives that you have right now, folks. You can pull your kids out of public school and homeschool them. You can pull your kids out of public school and send them to private school. Obviously, you need to research the private school also. And last but not least, and this is growing like wildfire in popularity, you can form a education pod. Get together with 5 or 10 or whatever, like-minded parents. Split the cost of a teacher. Get a good one. And that teacher will teach your 5 kids or your 10 kids or whatever the class is. You can hire 2 teachers, one for grades 1 through 6 and one for grades 7 through 12. In other words, you can control in totality the educational process of your children. And yes, you're still paying your taxes to support the so-called public school system, more like the Marxist school system now, or the Marxist indoctrination summer camp. But that is a very reasonable alternative to taking back education and obviously not having to spend the time, particularly if you're both working, on homeschooling. These alternatives are alternatives you need to think about. As a fourth, there are charter schools, at least in certain areas. They've been banned by the progressives because, you know, they want to control every little nodule of information which goes into your kids' brains because they are not interested in the least in educating your kids. They are interested in indoctrinating your kids. But think about these alternative forms of education. And in the meantime, fight like hell down at the school board. Vote in those school board elections. Be involved in curriculum and what teachers are saying, what teachers are teaching, their lesson planning. These are your kids. They are not the government's kids yet. So, let's get back to 1619. The New York Times sold out that magazine issue, and they had to raise funds to publish an additional 200,000 copies for free distribution. That's how popular it was with the urban elite. Guess where they got some of the funds for those 200,000 additional copies? Oh, yeah. Red China. I've brought you that story. I mean, the New York Times got over $20 million from Red China. Do you think that they... Is there any reason in your mind to doubt that they are not Red Chinese sycophants? They are. The 1619 Project curriculum has particularly taken hold, by the way. Listen up, you folks. In Chicago, Illinois, Washington, D.C., Wilmington, Delaware, and Salem, North Carolina. And it's being implemented on a much broader scale. Get involved, folks. Get involved. Those 4,000 educators that are using one or more resources in the 1619 Project curriculum are from all 50 states. All 50 states. There's an essay by the name of, done by a gal by the name of Pauline Werner. Resources and Insights from the 1619 Project in the Classroom. 2020. It was done in 2020. You might want to read it. By the way, Hannah Jones is now collaborating with Oprah Winfrey, Lionsgate Television, and has contracted with One World, which is a division of Random House, to publish amplified book versions and videos and movies and fiction and poetry. And Random House is also planning a series of children's books on the 1619 Project. Isn't that great? By the way, they're going to print it under Random House's 10-speed imprint. Yeah. 10-speed imprint. Anyway, her essay is only 7,400 words. It's not huge. But basically what she says, and she begins the essay with a 2-sentence title, "Our democracy's founding ideals were false. Black Americans have fought to make them true." The main thread of her article, by the way, is kind of her bewilderment over her father, a black man, over his huge patriotism. He fought in the U.S. Army in World War II. He experienced racial injustice and discrimination, but he insisted on flying an American flag every day in front of his house. And she's come to the conclusion that her father's patriotism flows from his awareness that America's redeeming qualities were what he fought for and were forged not in the Constitution, but in the crucible of American slavery and segregation. She makes 2 basic arguments in the 1619 essay, as do the other 17 essays that are part of the curriculum. The first is that black Americans, only black Americans, by the way, have been consistent contributors to American progress culturally and politically. And their influence is central, foundational to the nation's development. Folks, what this really is a argument for reparations. Understand where this is all going. It's all interrelated. If black people created economies and contribute to the economy, and they were oppressed, as Karl Marx would say, then they need to be paid for their contributions, and they need to be compensated for the oppression while they were making those contributions. This is all tied in, all tied in. She considers not, and this is what your kids are being taught, that not all men are created equal, quote unquote, but that racial slavery was the foundation of America, the foundation of the formation of America. And that comes back to why 1619 is considered by the proponents of the 1619 Project to be the true founding of the United States, not 1776, not 1787 when the Constitution was ratified, but 1619, the day the first black American slave set foot on the continent. She's done tweets where she has crossed out July 4, 1776 and July 4, 1787 and inserted the date August 20, 1619. This is not a subtle message. You can find it and you'll see it on t-shirts and tote bags. I mean, it has taken hold. Everything that whites did to rectify the wrong. For instance, the 13th and 15th Amendments, the unanimous school desegregation decision, which I talked about in the historical series at the Supreme Court, Brown versus Board of Education, 1954. The Civil Rights Act of 1964. The Voting Rights Act of 1965. None of this is even mentioned. And all these people take the turn that Republicans, conservatives, are responsible for slavery, when exactly the opposite is true. Democrats are responsible for slavery. Democrats fought against the freeing of slaves, i.e., the southern states. The biggest proponent of slavery and segregation was a guy by the name of Calhoun. He was a Democrat. You can see how twisted and warped this presentation and these lesson plans are. And they are for a reason. They are for a reason. None of this is an accident. Basically, the 1619 Project, in addition to all these other omissions and false teachings, it is intended to subvert the trust amongst citizens of different races. That is its intention. It is pure Marxism. And it portrays American progress simply as a record of heroic black struggles over persistent white vice. Nothing could be further than the truth. So there is, look, the 1619 Project basically teaches, I'll boil it down to its essence, that white Americans will not abide by the Constitution, and therefore black Americans or non-white Americans should not abide by it either. So that is the 1619 Project in a, I mean, just in a nutshell, because we just don't have the time to go into it. I might bring more of this up in future shows. It's dastardly teaching. And this flows right into the gender deal, right? The gender deal. Look, the gender deal evolved from three waves of feminists. The second wave of feminists, their goal became, and the third wave of feminists, today's feminists are just, you know, out in the ozone. They believe that they will promote women's rights as an oppressed class. Do you understand the linkage here? By shaking the confidence in the very idea of a man and the very idea of a woman, and therefore in the very idea of a family. Remember, the Marxists to win must bring down, must burn, must reduce to rubble the Constitution, faith, and family. They cannot win if those three pillars of the American experiment are not destroyed. They cannot win. What the second and third generation of feminists want to accomplish, and they're doing it through the transgender theories and, you know, the bathrooms that are open to boys who think they're girls and on and on and on. You're familiar with all that stuff. We went over in detail last week. You've heard about it elsewhere. But transgender theories are a key part of the feminist goal of a sexual revolution that eliminates, I quote, the proprietary family and celebrates non-monogamous sexual experiences, unquote. In the future of gender liberation, as they call it, and this is the third wave of feminists talk, quote, a thousand genders will bloom because the public will recognize in legitimacy even the beauty of all gender performances. We are not carving out a place for autonomy. And this was a writing by a guy by the name of Butler. If by autonomy we mean a state of individuation, taken as a self-persisting, prior to, and apart from any relations of dependency on the world of others. Persons cannot persist without norms of recognition that support their persistence and build their mental health. One's identity is never fully really known. One's own until it is endorsed in and through the public authorities and recognized by all fellow citizens. Basically, the third generation of feminists, which are controlling the curriculum in schools, embrace same-sex marriage because it creates gender trouble for real marriage, folks. Not because same-sex marriage is great. It's because it undermines the pinnings of the family. It attacks the expected kind of gender norms of heterosexuality within a marriage. It explores open marriage. And it attempts, just as the 1619 Project and CRT attempts to subvert and pit against one another classes, the third generation of feminists, the stuff that's being taught in the schools right now, is really about dethroning marriage and affirming transgressive performances by disrupting the old normal, because that creates a more open future, which they can then bend and shape and mold through education. You know, this is where public restrooms and showering facilities are based on a binary concept of gender. This is where transgender athletes become a moral imperative. After all, you know, let's think how they think. Women's sports are based on that seemingly old assumption that there is in fact such thing as women. Transgender persons create gender trouble for contemporary notions of reality. And those who are considered unreal by the norm must disrupt the norm to create a new norm. Let me give you another quote from Butler, which, by the way, has been said in many ways by many of these third-generation feminists. The body is neither a given nor a limit. The limit in our identity is our ability to enter into fantasy, which is an internal film that we project inside the interior theater of the mind, unquote. I'll give you another quote, and this was inspired by the second-generation feminists, the 1960s and 1970s, who were called Beauvoir. That's Beauvoir, inspired existentialists. Quote, transgender activism begins with the help of a science that deconstructs, claims that individuals' health is compromised by society's repressions, unquote. In other words, the creation of a victim class, folks. The creation of an oppressed class. Do you see the common theme through all of this that's being taught to our kids in schools? Do you see its purpose and intent is to turn reality upside down? It is to replace reality with an unreality. And an unreality can be shaped into whatever the masters of education, and later the masters of those that are educated within the big government structure, wish it to be. The theater, remember that quote that I just gave you? The interior theater of the mind. This is all about the control of minds. And for purposes that have nothing to do with education, just as the jabs have nothing to do with health, just as COVID has nothing to do with life or death except for the unfortunate approximate 1/10 of 1% of the population who, if they caught a bad cold, probably might not have made it. This is what it's about. And it is dangerous and it is insidious. It is an attack, not only on your country, but upon your person. Those who scream oppression are themselves the oppressors. I get into our COVID segment. And I'm not sure we're going to have time today, unfortunately, to get into rat-a-tat-tat, though I have it prepared. If not, we will have a monster rat-a-tat-tat next week. But this COVID thing is critical, because this COVID thing is all part, you know, just as your kids have been are being educated in the schools with all this nonsense, part of which, a small part of which, we'll go over more next week. We'll go over social studies and community living and math, how all that is being subverted. That's next week. But just as they are being trained in school to think in unreal terms, so too are you and fellow Americans of your age around the country and around the globe being trained to think in unreal terms. You are being educated. They are using COVID as the educational stick. And as I have warned you, climate change is the next educational stick. And it is just as much nonsense as is COVID. And climate change has nothing to do with saving the earth. Just as the drum beating on COVID has nothing to do with your health. It's all about something else. It is simply the cloaks. All right, get into the jabs and more information on those and my theories on what they really are in terms of mechanics, what they plan to do with the jabs and why they plan to do it. Let me tell you what my lines in the sand are, and I've gotten many emails. Number one, if they infringe further on First Amendment rights, if they make political speech or try to make political speech a crime, that's a line in the sand. If they interfere any more than they have, and it is not beat back with parents being able to control the education of their children, that is a line in the sand. That is the future of the country. If they in any way infringe, impede, try to confiscate, or try to mass confiscation with a nonsense buyback plan on weapons, that is a real line in the sand. Let me emphasize, folks, we cannot be disarmed. We cannot be disarmed. We are not only, and I have said this many times, the bulwark of freedom in the country, the defenders of the Constitution. We are the hope of the world. We are the last line of defense in this onslaught of the CCP plus globalists plus democratic Marxists. And in the end, as the framers intended, it is not only our right, it is our duty to overthrow a tyrannical government. They know it. We cannot be disarmed. A huge line in the sand. And the fourth line in the sand, my fourth line in the sand, is if they enact some type of federal, or try to enact some type of federal, and it manages to get through the courts, which I don't have a whole bunch of faith in, but we must have some in, on a federal level that impedes life, that impedes liberty, that impedes interstate travel. And I don't mean just by plane, I mean by vehicle. That is a line in the sand. Those are my four lines in the sand, or any combination thereof. I hope that you have thought of yours, and I hope that you have thought of the question I pose to you every show. Will you muster, and will you stand? Now, let's get into these jabs. So there's this gal by the name of Jane Burgermeister. She's up in Canada. Courageous lady. Very smart. You can read about her at Natural News. Burgermeister, Natural News journalist, files charges against WHO and UN for bioterrorism and intent to commit mass murder. You can also read about it on her blog spots. Jane Burgermeister, comma, journalist. Also, ChinaWatchCanada.blogspot.com. She's fully aware of Red China's involvement in what's going on with COVID, the vax, the globalists, and the democratic Marxists in both Canada and the United States. Let me just read you a quote out of one of the lawsuits she has filed, which, by the way, have some traction. The defendants have created, resourced, and sustained a covert bioweapon system for purposes of mass murder with the help of the WHO, the EU, national research labs such as the CDC, vaccine companies, FEMA, and Homeland Security. Let me continue. These organizations are interacting with each other to develop and distribute biological weapons in secret. They have leveraged funding through the banking system as well as through the drug trade they control. They have leveraged technology to improve their capability to use biological agents to eliminate the population of the U.S. by developing genetic viruses such as the bird flu and swine flu virus in labs. By the way, this lawsuit was filed just prior to the COVID pandemic. How prescient was she? Let me continue. They have developed vaccine companies to deliver the biological agents to the population through vaccines, which will be compulsory in the event of a pandemic. They have positioned themselves to profit from any pandemic they themselves create by securing funding and lucrative contracts for antidote vaccines with governments and international organizations such as the WHO far in advance. They have implemented an illegal and unconstitutional regulatory framework to compel people to accept mass vaccinations so that the people of America will not be allowed to refuse an untested vaccine and they will not be allowed to sue for compensation. I can go on, but I think you get the message. She talks of communist China. Quote, by eliminating the U.S. population, they aim to acquire the resources and assets of the country at relatively little expense and without being held accountable, because the program of genocide is disguised as a necessary public health measure by the media and the government agents they control. Unquote. Let's go over the dots that we have, folks. I got an email from Jonathan in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He said, I love your show. I listen to it every week. I agree with virtually everything you say, except I think you are a little bit over the line and perhaps in tinfoil hat territory, talking about the purposeful administration of vaccines to harm the population and or to control it. Please clarify. All right, Jonathan, and for all of those who are thinking the same, let's go over the dots, shall we? And this is not all of them. This is just a sampling. Number one. Take a look at the videos underneath the audio bar. Fauci warning of a pandemic in 2017. Take a look at the February 22nd, 2020 show, also posted under the audio bar. There's four key things posted under the audio bar this week. In that show, I talk about, in fact, I read to you the speech that the Chinese defense minister gave to the high-ranking brass and the top cheese at the CCP in 2004. Remember that three different Chinese defense ministers, 89, 2004, and oh yes, June of 2019, have said basically the same thing. Read that speech. If you read that speech, you've basically read all three. We must take down America. We must have that space. We are out of space and resources. We must have their resources. We will begin with a biological attack. We will follow up with a targeted potential nuclear strike. Do you remember the hypersonic missiles they tested back in July and August that our intelligence agencies were so surprised at? And then we will move to secure the land. That is the essence of those speeches, all three of them. To ignore those speeches by the Red Chinese, folks, is to ignore Hitler's Mein Kampf in 1932 and 33. Oh, he doesn't mean it. It can't happen here. That's a huge dot. Next dot. American Democratic Marxist globalists, in concert with globalists, including Bill Gates, George Soros, Klaus from the World Economic Summit, the Davos crowd, illegally funded the Wuhan lab and others in gain-of-function research specifically to take the SARS-CoV-1 virus and make it more transmissible to humans using mouse lungs that have been genetically transposed to resemble human lungs. That virus was released from the Wuhan lab intentionally. China knew it. China restricted all travel within its boundaries, but promoted travel internationally. They timed it for the Lunar New Year and the 2020 elections. The same people who had created this virus and funded its creation and its release then had Trump shut down the economy. And at that time, he trusted them. Who else was he going to trust? That did massive economic damage to the United States, upset the population, and more divided the population. The CCP then stoked the flames of racial division, all at the same time carrying on their three prongs of lawfare, disinformation, and division. We've talked about it. The streets of America were burning. Nothing was done. Right now, we have illegal aliens, 1.7 million of them, the highest in 97 years on a percentage basis, the highest in all time in terms of numbers, coming across the border, not having to take COVID tests, not having to be vaccinated, flown to all parts of the country. In other words, COVID is a joke. We have a mainstream media, many of whom have taken money from the Red Chinese, beating the drums of fear over COVID and over vaccine mandates. We have Fauci and the NIH crew who have patents on ingredients in the vaccines, which, because they're patented, are secret, although researchers are now getting into them with the slides and such that we have on the website. So they have a monetary as well as an ideological impetus. These vaccines have not been fully tested. They are not approved. I brought you Pfizer's own spokeslady saying that none of these vaccines are approved. They're EUAs. They did not go through another dot. They did not go through the clinical animal trials. When these vaccines were used in 2002 experimentally and did go through the animal trials, the animals that were vaccinated, the ferrets, all died when re-exposed to the original virus agent. These are all irrefutable facts. You have the COVID fear being used as an excuse for everything. Government inactivity, the supply chain disruption, you name it, and being leveraged into mandates over the vaccines themselves, the untested vaccines themselves. You have a CDC and government agencies around the world, and particularly here in the United States, lying about the adverse impacts, changing the goal line all the time. At first, only adverse effects within 7 days of a jab. Then it was only adverse effects after 14 days from the jab. Then it was after 14 days, but before 30 days from the jab. You have a reporting system, which even though Harvard, under a government commission study, says is 1%, that's 1% of all adverse reactions, that still has 600,000 material adverse reactions, and approaching 20,000 deaths, I believe it at 17,000 right now. You have a European reporting system, which is still voluntary but more rigid, which has over 2 million adverse effects reported. You have researchers now, I'm about to give you some facts and figures when I'm done with this series of dots. You have researchers now that estimate 2 million, that's 2 million, people have died from these jabs. They've interpolated the numbers. And over 60 million have been materially adversely affected by the jabs. Then you have the Red Chinese, who are not administering this jab at all. The Sinovac jab, which they developed, is more the traditional jab. It actually uses elements of whatever COVID-19 is, as developed in the lab, as the essence of the needle. It doesn't have mRNA, which does, contrary to the lies of Big Pharma and the lies of fraudulent Fauci and the NIH, etc., alter your DNA and interfere with your T cells, your memory T cells, and your frontline T cells, the basis of the innate human system. These are all facts. These are all dots. Then we have Fauci and Collins, I told you about Collins last week, lying through their teeth to Congress and to the American people about whether or not they did fund the Wuhan lab or how they funded the Wuhan lab and all sorts of other things. Why would you lie about something which is for everybody's health, that everybody needs to know about, that is a matter, as they say, of life and death, you know, beating the fear drums? Then you have all the state governments, the blue state governments, mandating these vaccines. You have the vaccine mandate coming at the worst possible time with the intentional supply chain breakdown that are and resulting in the firing or termination illegally of tens of thousands of healthcare workers around the United States and first responders. Now, this is about your health, safety, and welfare, folks. Let me get this right. They're going to mandate a vaccine, which is very important for your health, so that you can lose your life in a million other ways because there's no cops, there's no firefighters, there's no doctors, and hospitals are operating at half mast. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that signifies something else, not your health, not your health. Then we have the jabs themselves driving the mutations of the virus. Next week, I may delve on that just very, very quickly. Because viruses mutate, and when faced with a roadblock like any living organism, they find a way around the roadblock. Then we have Dan Anderson from MIT, who we talked about last week, who says that these mRNA injections and the elements that they contain will allow them to turn off or on any gene. Then we have all the research that's being done. The Japanese researchers, the Israeli researchers, we've talked about all of this, which proves conclusively, that your innate immune system, particularly if you have had COVID, is far superior, 27 times superior, to the jabs. And then we have the Pfizer-Moderna-owned clinical studies, which say that these are not vaccines, they are gene therapy drugs that do not grant immunity, nor any protection against transmission to or from. Then we have the globalist crowd who want to reduce the population. I mean, it's right on their talks. It's right on video. By 2 to 5 billion people. Some of them think 2.5 billion on the planet is just fine. Some of them think 5 billion. Bottom line is, a lot of people have to go away to make these guys happy. Then we have climate change, where they've used nanoparticles and using frequencies can direct, control, manipulate, and create or dispel weather. Both of those shows are also posted under the audio bar. You can go back in the archives and listen to them. Then we have all these researchers, right? Kingston, who was with Pfizer. Bossy, probably the foremost guy in the world, was with Pfizer and Gates. Young, who I talked about last week, who have now identified from slides, from actual vials of these vaccines, what is in them. Barium, graphene oxide nanoparticles, stainless steel nanoparticles, copper nanoparticles, etc. Along with other stuff they can't even identify that seem to be some type of parasite. The slides are in the videos. You can look at them for yourself, folks. We have doctors coming forward and saying that they've seen a 20-fold increase in cancer patients, including patients who were formerly in remission. We have reports and studies on all sorts of heart-related and circulatory-related diseases. We have many cases now around the world, with no exceptions, hospitalizations and deaths, even though rather minimal, are 60 to 95%, 60 in like Israel to 95% in Australia, vaccinated people, not unvaccinated people. This is stats from dozens of countries, including Japan, including right here in the United States. I have anecdotal evidence from many people who listen to this show, nurses, doctors, etc., that say the same thing. We know that this mRNA jab was originally developed through DARPA, which is the clandestine military branch of bioweapons. We know that the nanoparticles penetrate the blood-brain barrier. We know that 5G is being put up all across the United States, and an entire satellite system that crisscrosses the Earth with 5G frequencies is being installed literally as I talked to you about this show. We know that graphene oxide is and these other nanoparticles are highly conductive, particularly at certain MGH, certain megahertz. We know that Congress and the head cheeses in government have exempted themselves from having to take the vaccine. We know that Japan has returned 4 million doses because they found weird stuff in the vaccines. These are all huge dots. Huge dots. Let me give you four more dots because they are noteworthy and they are extremely important. We have governors in five blue states. Remember, the Democratic Marxists are believers in eugenics, that purposely sent COVID-infected patients back to nursing homes, knowing full well who the vulnerable population was and how transmissible the disease was. 80K older folks died. We have the poo-poo by the mainstream media, Fauci, and the rest of the fraudulent crew of therapeutics, HCQ and Z-Pak, Ivermectin, which I can tell you personally works, and a host of other therapeutics, instead pushing drugs which don't work that cost roughly 3,000 times more to administer. Then we have the precautionary guidance, not being furnished at all. D3, vitamin B complex, quercetin, zinc, hardly talked about by fraudulent Fauci and his crew and the rest of the government slime balls around the world. And finally, we now have the FDA recommending jabs for kids 5 to 11 of these untested vaccines, which they freely admit. Take a look at the video under the audio bar. One of these goons at the FDA actually said, well, we won't know if there's any adverse effects until we administer them. You know, well, gee, where did we hear that before? Oh, that's right. You have to pass the bill to know what's in the bill, except that this is life and death. This is your kids. The push is on, obviously, to vaccinate everybody on the planet. And finally, we have the Red Chinese verified collecting DNA data on Americans and people around the world. What do you do with DNA data? You figure out, why don't we say what works and what doesn't work with particular DNA strands to affect people's health and whether or not they live. These are irrefutable dots, which leads me to the conclusion that the vaccines, as I said last week, are evilly intended. They are not vaccines. They're experimental drugs. You are the experiment, folks. There's things you can do, whether you've been vaccinated or unvaccinated, that you need to do. You need to do the quercetin, the B3, the D3, and the zinc. You need to have on hand therapeutics, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. Vaccinated people are getting COVID by the millions. Millions. Be prepared. Be smart. Make good decisions about whether you get the second shot, whether you get the third booster. And now, did you know they have a fourth booster coming out? Oh, yes. It's never ending. I believe that based on the weather modification, their abilities with nanoparticles and frequencies, I believe that they can control thoughts and actions and memories by applying certain frequencies. They may be able to control life or death. The MIT doctor, Anderson, has told us they can turn off or turn on genes. I doubt that that has a positive impact upon your physical being. And of course, you have the control factor, and you have the mandates. And eventually, you may have, if you watch the video, the Chinese video underneath the audio bar, you may have a choice between taking some type of antidote, which will only be given to you, will only be administered if you agree to everything they want you to do or say or think, or dying. I mean, I think it is that serious. And I think that the vaccines are intended, in fact, to eliminate a portion of the Earth's population. Ironically, the folks most adversely affected, by these vaccines happen to be minorities, particularly black folks and Spanish. This is why they're teaching critical race theory and the 1619 Project in our schools. I mean, you can't make this up, but this is the Marxist mind. It is dark. It is malevolent. It is not about your health. It is not about your safety, welfare, financial, or other freedoms. It is about control. And the ultimate control, folks, is through fear. And the ultimate fear is the fear of life and death. There is a reason that there is a push to get this vaccine, experimental gene therapy drug filled with all sorts of nanoparticle and who knows what else goodies. Take a look at the videos for what the researchers say it's filled with, into everybody's arm on the planet. There is a reason. Nothing occurs without a reason. There are no coincidences. Next week, I'm going to elaborate on some of these mind control, physiological control, offer an antidote, which the Chinese in this video say they happen to have. You know, why don't the Chinese use these vaccines? Ask yourself that question. If they're so great, and everybody's so concerned with the health of their populations, there is big, foul stuff a play. COVID was used to create the fear, and the fear was used to deliver the biological weapon, or the biological control agent, or at best, the biological experiment, as the FDA guy said about the 5 to 11-year-olds. Well, we'll just have to administer it and see what happens. This may sound crazy, but I want you to step out of your normalcy bias. Get out of that box. Think on an expanded basis. Think about how many people over the last 120 or so years, Marxists around the world have exterminated. Over 100 million without the blink of an eye. Think about what the Chinese defense minister said. If 100 to 200 million Americans have to die, well, so what? Better than, 1 to 200 million Chinese dying. That's in their speeches, folks. It's real life stuff. Step out of that box. Whether you've been vaxxed, quote unquote, or not. Take the steps to protect yourself. Take the steps to prepare. You owe it to your family, you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to your country. And think about that question. Will you muster and will you stand? This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Thanks for listening. Talk at you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.